Good morning and welcome to the Wake Up Late with Doggy Show, recorded live on tape at Danger Studios in beautiful Coral Springs, Florida. And now, here's today's host for the show, here's Doggy Almeida.
I've got nothing to say, but it's okay.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Doggy Show. I'm Doggy Almeida, and I'm joined here in the studios by special guests, the funniest teacher in America, Mr. Mike Rivera.
Thank you.
And, of course, Cal Verducci.
Hello.
They will be our comics tonight at Tavolino's. For those of you in Facebook live land, trying to figure out what to do in this monsoon of weather we're having here in South Florida. But we'll have a comedy show, as we always have every Wednesday night, going on. It'll be 4 years, by the way. That we're celebrating doing weekly comedy at Tavolino's in Coral Springs. And thanks, Dina Hidalgo, for joining us, who was at our show last week, by the way, on Facebook Live.
I know her.
Yeah, she's a big comedy fan. Yeah. She's also on Facebook Live. And so, 4 years of running the show, and so we're excited about that. But tonight, two headliners for the price of one. Kyle, for all intents and purposes, headlines. You and I spoke about this, you know, like... Yeah, you know, you're a funny guy. He came in crushed when you were there one time. I was there, and then, you know, but there's some. It's just, you know, like I was asked to MC a show one time, and I was like, yeah, hey, I'm not booked. I don't care. I'll do the show.
I do it because it's local.
Yeah, right. No, where do you live?
I live in West Palm.
All right. So, yeah, so that's pretty local.
Yeah.
You know, and but you know, we have the for me at least for Tavolino's, I have. Plenty of headliners. I got a lot of headliners that want, you know, people from all over, especially since we link it with other runs. And sometimes, you know, those runs take precedent. By the way, I think I may be working with you in Casey's room on that date. I may be opening up for you in at the Sunrise Theater.
September?
Yeah.
Okay.
I get something like that. And, you know, we link it. So sometimes I have to leave certain dates open. We're waiting to hear from people to get that. But, you know, sometimes I get people to say, hey, I want a headline. And I'm like, well, you know, so what I do is, well, why don't you come at least feature if I've never seen the person or something. And then they feature, they do great. Then we'll give them a headline date. That simple. But I've had some people be like, well, you know what, if you don't want to headline me. I'm like, well, dude, you know, I headline places. I headline certain rooms for Funny Business. I'm going to be headlining Snappers in a couple weeks next week. I know, Coconuts.
Yeah.
I'm also going to be headlining Snappers. And there I featured others, you know. Just the way it is,
yeah.
You know. There's some rooms that only like I had somebody recently ask me if I can help them get a weekend at Off the Hook, you know. And you know, Captain Brian at Off the Hook, he's got a certain criteria for the headliner. They have to be A-listers, and that's what he goes for, and he spends money on that. Our friend of all of us, I think you know Frankie Paul.
Actually, I don't.
You don't know Frankie?
I know of him. I know of him. But
great guy. You know, helped me get started.
And great hair.
Yeah, great hair.
I have seen that, yes.
Yeah, you know, he's got that rock and roll hair.
No.
But Frankie, you know, what the fuck was I just saying? What was I bring him up? He posted them on Facebook. He goes, you know, it's much better to go to a show where you don't know the comic, in a sense, as opposed to where everybody knows the comic and it's not that great of a show. Right? That's happened.
Yeah.
Right, you get a person with national credits and things like that, but then they get in front of an audience, and it's like,
well, yeah. What happens is a lot of them, they have their TV spot. They go, you know, late night. They do like a 10-minute spot, and someone thinks, oh, now they're a national act, and it's like, so we did 10 minutes, and that means they could do 45, or she's sorry, I didn't mean it. Didn't say I mean
right,
to say
right.
He, but yeah, I mean it's just funny how that happens. Like Last Comic Standing is like. A huge example of that, like all those comics that, you know, they go up, they did 5 minutes, and all of a sudden they're supposed to be a national act.
Right.
Some of them pulled it off.
Right.
But at first, some of them definitely didn't. You know, I mean, I'm not going to name names.
Right.
You know.
Well, again, there's people that are there's people. Now, listen, I have a shameless TV credit. Let me just set the record straight. I have a shameless TV credit that I use because it's a legitimate TV credit. I was on Jimmy Kimmel Live, but. It was in the Wall of America segment where I was on a Skype line on the TV screen. You know, it wasn't like, you know, I wasn't there on stage doing stand-up, but I had asked, I think I even asked you, I've asked several veteran comics that I respect their opinion. I said, hey, can I use this as a legitimate TV credit? And everybody said, yeah, you were on the show, you were part of a bit.
Yeah, no, I feel I use Comedy Central as a credit because there was a show called The Graham Norton Effect. It was on like 10 years ago, and it was only went for one season. And I was in a skit.
Right.
I didn't do stand up, but I was in a skit. So I'm like that. I was on Comedy Central.
Well, there are people that use Last Comic Standing that weren't even on the show, but they're in the audience.
Oh yeah, yeah. Another big one I love is the Aneys Evening at the Improv. Some comics are still using that from like the 80s.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And nobody goes, nobody's going to a show, be like, oh, I remember that guy was on Aneys Evening in the Improv in the 80s.
It's not something that's going to draw the crowd.
Yeah, but people still use it because they know that some kind of credit, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, Mike, you know, Mike hit the bonus of credits when you participated in The View's America's Funniest Teacher.
Yeah.
And that was a great thing to have.
It's great because it leads to other things.
Right.
That's what we were talking about before. You know, it's you get on there, you do three times, and then, but you have to make, that's the big thing we're talking about. You got to take it. You got to see what you're going to do with it.
Right.
You know? And that's what I've been trying to talk to you about.
Yeah.
And, you know, from there, yeah, it's good to do comedy, but then do you want to specialize in your market? And that's what I've been trying to do. You know, I wrote a book. And then the book wins an award. Then I start, but I still love comedy because that's my first love.
Right.
You're always doing comedy. But then I start doing teacher comedy shows. That's pretty good. But then for my book, you make a keynote where it's you laugh, you cry, you get that. And you try to do a whole bunch of things because this business is so crazy.
Right.
You know, you have to be more than one egg, I think.
Well, the ultimate thing is you got to make a living at it. You know, at this stage of my life, I'm fortunate because I still do what I do. My profession of 29 years managing money, I still do that. I do it for a select group of people. You know, I don't do it like the old days where I had 200 and something clients because I couldn't have a second job trying to manage the retirement lives of 250 clients. Now I have like 50 clients, so you know I could do that from my computer screen in a hotel room. So I'm fortunate with that. But even with that, it'd be nice. I was on the plane flying home from my gigs last weekend, and I got to sit next to this pastor. And he asked me, he goes, what do you do for a living? And I said, comedy. And after talking for a bit and this and that, he says, oh, fine. It's interesting that you would say that you're a comedian as opposed to a financial advisor. Right? And, part of me is like, well, comedian's much more exciting. You know, you tell somebody you're a comedian, they want to hear a joke. You tell somebody you're a financial advisor, they want stock advice.
Yeah.
And, you ever tell somebody you're a teacher? What do you say, you're a teacher or a comedian?
I usually go teacher first. Because I just, for me, you know me, I'm always like, you know.
Right.
Then they go, oh, what have you done? I go, this thing. Oh, really? And it's like, yeah, okay.
Right. And at least with teacher and comic, people are like, oh, okay, I guess you need to have a sense of humor dealing with kids today.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
It flows right from there. It flows. It's really cool.
but whereas like me, I've had some people say, oh, you're a financial advisor and a comic, you know. And I've had people like I told the story a few times. I had somebody who was referred to me because I work by referral only when my financial planning business. I don't market. I don't. If you go to my LinkedIn, it says comic financial. You know, comic radio show host actor. But once somebody who was referred to me went to my LinkedIn on the financial planning side and saw all that, and they were like, "Oh, I'm not going to deal with this guy." And I told him, I said, "Listen, I've been doing comedy for now 10 years. I've been a financial advisor for 30. It wasn't the other way around." So. But you know what? That's a good thing about my profession. I can care less. I work with a select group of people. See, as a teacher, you can't say that. You can't say I only work with a select group of students.
Unless you're Betsy DeVos.
Right? Yeah. You don't like her, huh?
No.
What do you think of her? No?
No.
No?
No.
None of the teachers seem to like her.
Well, because here's the thing with charter schools. In purpose, yeah, they might work. But in reality, that's what you have to think of. In reality.
Right.
Will they take all the students? Will they take the lower level students? Will they take... students with disabilities and
now,
stuff like
let
that.
Let me straighten this out. I'll be honest with you. This is an area I don't know that much about. I know that charter schools...
And then here's the thing with charter schools. Most of them, when you look at, they usually fail within 2 or 3 years and then see where the money goes. And with anything in life, you know that as a financial person, look where the money goes.
Right. Well, sometimes when some new...
And you know it's not going to the teachers.
Well, you know, unless they're ownership, if I work for a company, unless I'm an owner of the company, something happens to the company, I'm not going to get any of the money. I'm only going to get my paycheck. So, being realistic, but let me ask you this: charter schools, like you have public schools, you have private schools, and then charter, right? Mm-hmm. So, it's basically three divisions of school. So, public school is what it is. They're the taxes, community taxes pay for the school. Teachers are hired. You know, the schools. There's good schools. There's bad schools. Mm-hmm. Is it based? What makes a school bad? Is it just accumulation of a bunch of shitty teachers, or is it just a really bad neighborhood where the kids don't want to learn? And the,
it's there's such a correlation between parental involvement,
yeah,
and how the school does.
Now, do you see a lot of that? Do you, you know, because I, you know, people,
absolutely.
I coached soccer for a long time, and people said, "Why did you have a problem with the kids?" I said, "No, I love kids. I just hate the fucking parents."
Yeah, well, the inmates are running the asylum.
Yeah,
you know, you can't do anything with the kids anymore. And, you know, that's, I don't want to harp on that, but it's like amazing. It's like somebody best said it. They said, you know, the teachers are afraid of administration. Administration's afraid of, you know, the superintendent.
Right.
And the kids, they're afraid of nobody.
Right.
And that's the thing.
I posted this up on Facebook the other day. We've gone from a country striving for equality for just simply wanting to be treated special. Every kid today wants, they all think they're special. You know, and let's face it, most of them aren't. They're just a bunch of punk asses, most of them. You know, you're not special to become special. You're not respected until you are respectable, right? You know, and you know, obviously, we talked about this, like hitting kids. You know, many generations stopped hitting kids. I remember when I was in school, we got paddled, right? You ever get paddled?
I did not, know.
No?
No, I didn't.
I got paddled once, and I laughed through the whole thing. I was in eighth grade. I mean, it kind of hurt, but, you know, you're like a 12-year-old, 13-year-old. Like, you're kidding. I've been punched hard. I was in karate. You know, I just get hit with kendo sticks and shit. You know, I think that I'm going to be scared of my principal with a fucking, you know, like a paddle. But they don't do that anymore, right, Mike? There's no more paddling in school.
In certain counties, they do allow, but it has to be really, you know, bad.
I can't even imagine they still allow that. Wow.
Well, but yeah. Usually, but back when they did, there has to be documentation. There has to be a deputy in there,
right.
Everything. And then they do. When I was a kid, they'd say, they'd call down the father and they'd give him the paddle. It's like, you want to whack at him? And the father would give it to him.
Oh, yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
I think that's the problem. I think kids need to be smacked around a little bit. You know, kids today have the power. They, you know, they, hey, I'm going to call Children and Family Services.
Yep.
They call on the parents.
They'll gang up with a bunch of other kids and say, we want that teacher fired.
And kids, that's the thing. Kids are so smart today that they know,
yes.
You know, they know that they can actually pull it off.
I don't think they should be. I mean, smacked around. However, we definitely need to be a little harder on them. It's ridiculous. We coddle them so much. You know what I mean? That's why, like, this generation, that's why you go to colleges and they're all offended by everything you say because they've been told that they can have everything.
Right.
You know, I mean, I pretty much stopped doing colleges, and that used to kind of be sort of my market. I'm high energy on stage and kind of more of a performer.
Right.
And that actually worked really well at colleges, but I got tired of, you know, somebody would always complain. Somebody would always get offended.
Or you get the groan.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Always the groan.
Have you gotten any of those lately?
No.
Oh, yeah. No, I always get the groan. I mean, I do like the combination groan laugh. I'm okay with that. But when it's just the groan, yeah, it's... And
oh, I got. I'm still thinking schools, but you're talking on stage.
Yeah, and what happens to me at colleges is usually like, well, what happens is most of them would be fine. Most of them would enjoy it, have a good time. But then there would just be one person that would complain and make a lot of noise.
Right.
I thought you were inappropriate.
Yeah, exactly. It's always it's usually over something not that no one else would even get offended by.
Absolutely.
Just one little stupid thing.
And you've done the line a billion times and it goes great, and then one person.
Like you have one racial joke where the racial joke actually, the race you were talking about actually did laugh at it, but it's some uptight white person that complains about it. They have to speak on behalf of that person that got offended.
Well, that's always the thing, like in cruise ships. That's why I never, like you're talking about cruise ships.
That's why,
like,
I'm worried about doing it.
Yeah, I don't want to, you know, it's funny because I always find it interesting, like I was in Iowa last week, and I tell a joke about, you know, Cubans. It's not about Cubans. It's a reference being in a Cuban hotel kind of thing. It's a joke. And people, oh. And I'm like, none of you are Cuban here. Shut the hell up. You know? What do you, I mean, and you know, I tell that joke about the wet vac joke. You know, my wet vac joke. And I told that joke in El Paso, and the Mexicans loved it. You know why the Mexicans loved it? Because they're loving. They don't give a shit. They're not uptight. They're happy people. You know what I mean? They don't take things that seriously.
Yeah, it's almost never the group that you're making fun of. They're not usually the ones that get offended. It's some uptight white person that has to speak on behalf of that group. Like Mexican people, they usually love Mexican jokes. I've done black jokes. Black people laugh at them 90% of the time. The only time I think there was ever a problem is this one black couple, and they were complaining. But the way they complained was more like they just wanted some free stuff. at the, you know, they were like, oh, you know, oh, we were offended. And then they were actually offended by the conk before me and me. And the conk before me wasn't even remotely offensive towards black people. But it was so obvious they were trying to get something free out of this casino.
Yeah.
It it was so obvious that it wasn't that they were actually offended. They were just like, we're just going to complain. We're going to get some free shit. Like, that was it, you know?
Yeah, you know, I mean, absolutely. You know, I mean, unless you're saying something that's like, I'll be honest with you, I'm a little nervous. I mentioned this yesterday. I'm returning to Stardom Comedy Club. Speaking of Frankie Paul in Birmingham. And you know, and I mentioned this. Some of my friends called me yesterday after the show. Like, why would you say that on Facebook Live that you got fired? Because I did. I was there Tuesday through Thursday.
Okay,
those are the nights in that club where it's papered.
Yes, I've been there. Yeah.
So it's a hard room in the first place. It's like
it's weird. It's one of those rooms you have to get used to. Like you have to like almost slow down the way you talk. And I'm not saying because they're Southern. It's actually the acoustics.
It's just so huge, right? You can't
the acoustics. If you talk too fast, they're not going to understand what you're saying.
And you know, my first night there was rough because hey, dealing with all that number one, and then. Yeah, I joked around. Somebody says, "Oh, I didn't say the guy's name," but the MC came out crushed because he was doing Sinbad and Chris Rock jokes, you know, and he was crushing. Mm-hmm. And then I come out, hey,
what can you do?
I come out, hey, I'm chubby, know what I mean? And then it was like, but I used to like I have a joke about Ferguson, which is a joke on irony.
I love that one.
There's no racism in that joke?
No, absolutely not.
But the minute that crowd heard the word Ferguson and a white guy saying it, they turned on me. So now I'm going back, and I'm like, you know, I didn't think I'd ever go back. But Frankie Paul, we're doing this run through Comedy Zone. So he says, well, they gave me, you know, I'm like, yeah, well, I'm not going to fly home from our last gig in Fort Walton. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do it. But there's the part of me that's excited, you know, because I'm thinking, okay, it's been a couple of years. I think I'm a little more polished. I think I can get better. But if I don't do it this time, but the good thing is it's one night. It's not a few days. It's one night. You know,
it is kind of cool to go back to a room that you had a tough time in. And then all of a sudden you go in there and crush. That is a great feeling. Right? But then there's this automatic prejudice that the owner sometimes has where like even if you kill, they're like, yeah, I still don't like them. You know what I mean? You never know.
You brought up a good subject here. And I talked about this yesterday. I also got some heat about that. You know, listen, I say what I want to say. You know, if somebody can't deal with it, doesn't like it, I don't give a fuck anymore. I'm not here to appease people and make a bunch of friends. I'm here to speak the truth. And I won't say it unless it's true, you know, and I won't come out and say something unless somebody else admit it. I'm not going to talk shit, but you know, but I mentioned this that yesterday that there's a comedy contest that I have evidence now, that there's not only favoritism, but in a sense cheating.
Which one isn't?
I'm not going to mention.
Okay. That's the whole point. Which one isn't?
I'm not going to mention.
For the
record, you see what I'm getting at?
Every comedy contest is bullshit.
Right.
Every single. And okay.
Except the one I did.
Oh, well, I don't know about yours. But like, so as a matter of fact, I'm going to go even further than that and say all contests in general are bullshit. I've done karaoke contests and they're all bullshit too.
Right.
Like, it's.
My t-shirt contests
are a joke.
Yeah, but I did like, that. I lost.
Like, and this is even going outside of comedy. There's a casino in Dania Beach, right? And they have a karaoke contest. In order to enter the karaoke contest, they scan your Players Club card. And I did this like twice, and I did great on both of them. And these people came. They were like first, second, and third. And people, the person that won was always really good. And then the second and third place were so bad.
Right.
You were like, what? What is going on? Like, I didn't even get third place.
Right.
And then I thought about it. It's like, so they have this person's Players Club card. They can look up how much they gamble. So basically you win free play.
Right.
So what they're doing is they're giving free play to people who are degenerate gamblers is what I'm guessing.
Was it the Stanley Cup of comedy?
Well, just think about that. Like, that's probably what they're doing.
Well, you know, I mean, it is. And listen, I imagine there's always favorite. Like, whenever for example, a contest that here's a great, like, a festival or a comedy contest that I've been in that, again, has those normal things that are going to happen.
Yeah.
But to me, it's been one of the fairest things I've ever dealt with, which was the World Series of Comedy. Because the World Series of Comedy, if you go to a satellite, and let's say you're going to Chattanooga, Tennessee at the Comedy Catch. you know, it's home field advantage for the clubs that are there because one of the judges are probably going to be Mike, the owner, and maybe some other people, whatever. So you got to accept that. It's just home. That's just normal home field advantage. You know, like when I fought professionally in fights or I fought any amateur event, and you know, the judges you would think are going to be fair, but you know, sometimes that's just the way it is. So all you, as someone who's entering that game, someone who decides to enter that arena, you got to bring it that much more. Like if you're the champion, if you're the champ of a, if you hold a boxing title. Or let's say you're challenging the champ. You can't just kind of, it can't be even. You got to destroy him, knock the person out, or clearly win. So the, it's no different than. But the thing that I always liked about it was they got judges basically from like especially in the main event in Vegas. There's usually like 9 people judging, and you know these are comedy club owners from all over. So that's you know yeah one person's not going to like they're going to favor. Oh, I'm going to give my guy a 5. You know, and I even, you know, and some of the people, some of the judges from that thing already told me if they see that, they see one comic went up, he's okay. And they, oh, sure, the hometown judge gave him the person a 5. Well, I'm giving him a 1. They actually would adjust the, just, you know, and then, you know, but that's as close as you're going to get in a sense. But, you know, the thing that my point to people, and that's why I told my friend, that's the only reason I brought this up. And again, I didn't mention the club or the contest or who books it or anything. But I said, the thing is, do it for the experience, do it for the fun, do all that stuff. It's only, you know, most of the time it's $25, $35 if they do charge, and if they do it. But don't, what you don't want to do is get real upset or discouraged when you don't make it, because in one particular case, in this particular thing, where it's funny, I have audio now of one particular influential person commenting, is that. You know, one person did really well, and this particular person said, we can't let this person go through. So that person that killed that night shouldn't start questioning their comedy. They shouldn't question what their material is. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should try something. Because sometimes that's what happens when you're naive and you go into a contest. You start thinking, oh, man, you know, maybe I got to change my shit around. Maybe, you know, that shouldn't be the reason why you change your whole story.
I mean, my experience with contests, and this is the truth. I've never participated in a contest where I saw someone win and I was like, that's the person that should have won.
Yeah.
Almost never.
Yeah.
I mean, I've once in a great while, but almost never.
Yeah.
It's just so, I will say that, yeah, that there was one I did for, I'm not even going to say the place.
Yeah.
But I knew that the owner of the club necessarily does not like me.
Yeah.
And I remember doing the contest and thinking, oh, I had the best set.
Right.
And I didn't even, they chose like 3 people. I didn't even make like top 3.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I was like, okay, this. And a couple of the people who won, who got top 3, like the person who won, I was like, okay, I accept the fact that this person won. They did a good job.
Right.
But the runner-ups, I was like, this person didn't even really get any laughs.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. It was so obvious that they weren't going to choose me
Sometimes what. Sometimes it is pretty obvious, you know.
Yeah.
But if you're new, I think it's good because it's like, okay, get that tight 5.
Sure.
Get that tight 10.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You really work on your set and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's either way, it's just a good learning experience, you know what I mean? And, you know, it's just, you know, all I'm saying is there's so many instances where the legitimacy of the contest has been exposed or the lack of it. And I'll go out and I'll call out Side Splitters and Bobby Jewell, who doesn't like me. I don't work there.
I will say I'll never work for him anyway. I will say that he's a piece of shit.
Yeah, I mean, listen,
I don't
there's,
care.
There's several people in the comedy industry, comedy business, that a multiple of people all have the same negative.
I've never heard anyone say anything positive about Bobby Jewell ever.
Yeah, no. And you know, listen, for me, the guy who said, oh, you send me emails every day. I'm like, dude, fuck it. I don't send you emails every day. He promised me spots and then backed out of it, kind of thing. Whatever. And thank God he has only one club.
If he has problems with you, if he actually thinks you're sending him emails every day, all he has to do is block your email. That's all he has to do.
Or you know what? Or be a human being and say, hey, dude,
stop emailing.
Yeah, do me a favor. Only send an email a few months. Like, you know what I mean? Whatever.
But a lot of these club owners don't even give a shit enough about you to respond. So it's like they're not even going to tell you to not do something.
Don't you think that's an interesting thing? Like I mentioned this the other day. It's like if actually yesterday on the show we called it the Friend or Foe podcast yesterday because you know if someone doesn't like me, like this happened one of my friends said to me recently, like, hey, you know, somebody asked me, why are you friends with Dougie Almeida? A fellow comic asked this comic, and you know, I know who it is, and I'm not surprised particularly, but you know, it's just, to me, it's interesting why you would.
Bobby Joe?
Yeah, you fucking. Yeah, I was talking to the guy who makes his wigs, and but I just it's like, to me, I hear that, and I'm like, all right, listen, I don't expect everybody to like me one way or the other. I don't like everybody myself, you know. So it's not like,
yeah.
But it's just, I just took it as weird and things like that. How people are so interested in others, you know. I took it as a compliment. I mentioned that to one of my mentors, and he says it's a compliment. You're in this person's head so much that you're like a chess piece in this person's head that they're dealing with on a day to day basis. They don't like to see, you know, anything doing well with you. And I said, well, I pray for that person. I'm just saying, I pray.
I'm amazed lately about all comics who will constantly bash other comics right on Facebook.
Yeah.
It's like, that's just unprofessional. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we all don't like certain comics. Yeah, it's natural. But I mean, I've seen comic after comic go on Facebook and be like, this person's Netflix special is terrible. And it's like, dude, you have like 5 minutes, and
yeah.
you're shitting on Dave Chappelle.
Yeah,
like,
well,
I don't.
That was ridiculous. I never saw it. Did you see this?
Oh my
Dave
god!
Show?
So many people shit on it, and it's like, I thought it was funny, and you, like, but like most of the people that shit on it, I'm like, I've never seen you have a good set.
Yeah. where your opinion really does, like, I love when people like that express their opinion right away. You got to consider the source.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was hilarious. All the backlash I saw, especially against Chappelle. Like, some people, oh, he's being anti-transgender, and it's comedy. It's comedy. Yeah. Like, and I watched the specials. It wasn't anti at all. It was just a joke.
A lot of people seem to develop their own understanding. You know, people. You know, I think because people want to be so right. And now we're in a day and age where people don't want to be smart; they want to be right. You know, mm-hmm. people don't want to be educated; yeah. they want to be on top. They don't want to be. And in order to do that, they got to come up with quick fixes and understandings and make summations right away of how things are.
There's no dialogue.
Right, there isn't. Like, I just accept.
We're not having a conversation. We're talking to each other. That's not us right now, but we're having a dialogue.
Right.
Other people, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. You're talking to me. You're
right.
Not listening.
That's it. But you're right now, we're talking to you guys here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show and on Facebook Live. Comment. You guys have been making comments. We appreciate it. My buddy Tracy Young's one of my biggest fans. You can hear that. Bill Alcox joined us from Winter Circle.
Oh, yeah.
Hi,
Bill.
The greatest chicken wings in
Lakeland.
Bill's 15 years.
Oh, I'm doing that at the end of July. Oh,
oh yeah?
Cool. Yeah.
Yes, he's out there watching.
Yeah.
I got to wave to Bill.
I love that place.
What's up, buddy?
And the best wings, really.
I love the teriyaki chicken wings, man.
All right, now
incredible.
I have to try them next time.
Oh,
I go.
Chippy. You get the chippy ones. They're a little more, you know, like the flakes of, oh, just.
And a shameless plug for Bill. He's just one of the nicest human beings. Any charity, anything event, and you know, I know about these things, he's always there for them.
He does it. Yeah. And again, I always say I give the guy kudos. He's one of the first people that featured me. Him, Jackie Knight. Right?
Oh, I love
Jackie's,
Jackie's
great.
Awesome.
And Jackie Knight's Comedy Club in St. Augustine. Bill's in Lakeland at the Winter Circle. And, you know, I even give kudos to one of the people I called out for being a schmuck, and Larry Silver. You know, here's another guy that you, I don't know, you work with him?
No, not yet.
All right, just make sure he brings his checkbook. Just make sure when you call him, say, bring your fucking checkbook, dude. You know, but honestly, I gave him kudos. He was a guy who believed in me early. You know, and gave me a shot too after, you know, busting and working hard to get it, you know. But so give kudos to the people that believe in you and your comedy. So thanks for being part of it.
That's good. That's right.
What's up, Chris Gorgeous, by the way?
Oh, we love Chris.
Hey, Chris guy. And of course, we're going to come back with our segment two, which we like to call What You Need to Know, right after this.
Hey, this is Pete Lee, and you're listening to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, because it's late and I just woke up.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
I hit the radio. was blind.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm here with special guests in the studio, Mike Rivera and Cal Verducci. Facebook Live. They'll be at Tavolino's tonight. Put on a raincoat. I don't mean a sexual reference. But come out to Tavolino's tonight and enjoy just $10. Great food. Some of the best Italian food you've ever eaten.
Absolutely.
Trust me. I know Italian food. I really do.
I scheduled my cheat day around this gig. I'm not going to lie.
I haven't eaten a damn thing all day. That's how I prepare. It's my day. Even my wife's excited. She's coming tonight to the show. Because we want to eat some good food. At a comic last night. It's always nice. One comic I haven't seen, Clyde Gordon, comic out of Miami, says, "Hey, what's going on?" So he pointed out my belly. He goes, "What's going on?" And I'm like, "Dude, I've been on the road for 2 weeks. I haven't eaten a home-cooked meal.
Yeah.
I've eaten Arby's like two or three times. Couldn't walk away from the beef and cheddar. I love the beef and cheddar. It's just a sandwich. It's just delicious. Anyway, welcome back to the show. Here's a segment we call What You Need to Know. And this is basically some things that I think are kind of, hey, I don't know if you knew this. You know, like the other day we had did you guys know that water has become more expensive than gasoline? Did you realize that?
I did not know that.
Well, see, there you go.
I needed to know that.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, sometimes if you're thirsty and you're in the desert, you'd obviously rather have water than gas. And, so there's moments where one may become more important than the other. But in all senses, here's the thing, and you're a teacher, Mike. You teach history?
Yes, history.
Right. And, history, U.S. history, you have to go back 230 something years.
Mm-hmm.
But human history, much bigger course, right? Like in a sense, a much bigger timeline.
Absolutely.
Now, I don't know much about this. I remember that, they had the primates or the Homo sapiens, I don't know, the cavemen guys. And then there was remember from the monkeys to the humans, there's a missing link, right? They never really found the missing link. Right, I don't mean to test you.
I'm censoring myself. I'm sorry.
Don't censor yourself. It's a podcast.
No.
But they say carbon dating, and I've heard some conspiracy about carbon dating
from Neanderthal to Homo sapiens. That's the missing link. It's like, why did they go from grunting and this and the short and the big forehead, then all of a sudden Homo sapiens?
Exactly.
What's the middle part?
Exactly. And nobody knows. And they found that lady Lucy that was they thought may have been. I remember that. But here's a scientist find oldest known specimens of human species. The remains were found in Morocco that date from 300,000 years ago, about 100,000 years older than other fossils of Homo sapiens. Just saying. Do we always know? Is there always going to be evidence that there could be something else going on? I mean, think about it. Like they found they had normal faces, like you said, they didn't have the big old forehead. I mean, I still see some people on the street that still look like the Neanderthal. You know what I mean? Look, but these guys, these are three. It's amazing to me when they find stuff, like that. That's it kind of just proves everything we kind of learned anyway. I don't know. What do you think? Let me ask you a question. You're a teacher. Do you believe in aliens? You think there was some crossbreeding of aliens and humans?
That's what I was just going to say. The interjection of any type of chromosome or DNA, whatever, could just, change it up. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's out there, but you can't dismiss it.
Right.
With all the galaxies and everything out there, there has to be one.
Mm.
There's just too much evidence not every single person that's ever reported an alien, they can't all be crazy. There's a lot of crazy people, but still, there's pictures. There's all sorts of things. I don't know. There has to be some kind of life on other planets. I mean,
I was really big in this. They think they have this big alien structure out there that the Hubble telescope felt is dimming around this star and everything. It's kind of interesting because they're like, could it be? And but it says here that bones found in a cave in Morocco added about 100,000 years to the history of the modern human fossils. The bones are from early anatomically modern humans. I don't know if that says anything about their penis. Human fossils, these bones are from early humans, our own species, Homo sapiens, with a mixture of modern and primitive traits. They found a TV remote in one of their hands. The international team of anthropologists and paleontologists and evolutionary scientists report in a pair of papers this past Wednesday Despite their primitive features, the ancient people could blend in with modern-day crowds. So, you know, maybe these people were, you know, like you believe in like Atlantis. Like you think about, well, you know, since we're, let's get a little political about stuff. Like, for example, like, you know, big thing was a lot of people are pissed that Trump pulled out of the France climate, whatever, the climate thing. Now, when I, as I read the facts of the agreement and what the conditions of the agreement are, you know, I posted something on Facebook that stated, if the government told you that you had to pay $50,000 a year for volcano insurance, would you think that's a good idea? So, in other words, the United States government has to pony up $500 billion a year for 4 years, right? When we're not the bigger culprits of it. The biggest culprits of it are China and India and stuff like that, where they don't have to do shit for about 4 or 5 years. You know, it's just a bad deal.
I think it's comical that as soon as you started talking about politics, we heard a giant thunder come through.
No, God's going to punish
me. It's like, don't talk about politics.
Here's the bigger picture of it. You know, I don't care what governments do. Big business is going to be in clean energy anyway. It doesn't take a government to get like the Musks of the world and everybody like that to develop.
Did you ever see Tucker?
The TV show? The movie Tucker?
Yeah.
Yeah,
what do you think about that?
The man and his dream. Yeah? I never did see that.
What do you think?
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to remember it now.
Remember, the whole point is he had the car that's going to last longer, be better, so that you're not going to have to buy a car.
Right, right, right.
And they said, no, we can't have this.
Yeah, we want to replace a car.
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't that interesting?
Well, you ever seen the documentary, Who Killed the Electric Car? About how oil companies spent billions of dollars trying to just get rid of the electric car? Like,
well, look what's been happening with, you know, the dealerships try to kibosh Tesla. Because they said, look, you don't have a dealership. They're just they're from manufacturing. They don't have dealerships of Tesla. You know, so that's the big three were trying to do with that. You know, that they were trying to get rid of them in a sense and try to squash them that way.
I'm obviously Tesla is a cool thing. But my own issue with Tesla is they make a car so expensive that like people who if you can afford a Tesla, you can also afford a car that has gas. You know what I mean? That takes gas. So like if Tesla, what they really should be doing is trying to make a more affordable a car.
Well, they did. They actually released the S was the one that's 80, 90 grand, whatever it is. And then they have the 3, whichever it is, which is the new version. They're going to put them in production now, which are like 30,000 people. This is the money that people put down $2,000 or $3,000 deposits a year or so ago to get it. And then they're about to announce this crossover that's going to be the X or whatever it is.
And it's also getting to the point now hybrids are more expensive now, and it has to be to the point where everything is electric and everything's hybrid where people can actually afford it. But it's just, you know, we're not at that point yet. I used to have a Prius and I tried to get another Prius and it went way up. The price went so far. So it was like worth it for me to just get a regular car.
And not only that, the gas prices have stayed, you know, went down.
So
it's like $2.50 a gallon.
And literally the car that I ended up getting, it was only the gas mileage was pretty close to what a Prius would be anyway. So it's like, might as well just go with a regular car. And it's way cheaper. Way cheaper.
I'm pretty sure that we're going to see gas prices hold for a while. Even energy stocks, things like that are holding. Craig Henny, who's a wannabe radio guy and never thought he could be a comic, calls me the pseudoscience with Dougie. Yeah, again, always critics. Again, like you said, people sitting at home making critics from the chair. But thanks for watching anyway, Craig. It's a tax on nothing. I do think that no matter what happens, this stuff is going to continue anyway. It's just the way of the future. Now, you know, and Trump came out with the infrastructure bill. Wouldn't it be nice if we had much nicer, more modern airports? Like we just, you know, let's do all that stuff. I think that's some good things. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be, and, you know, just saying. So we don't know how long humans have been in here. You know, this could be like a Matrix thing where we've been through this 6 or 7 different times. You know, that was the idea of the Matrix. Like there was humans came and went 6 or 7 times. And, you know, so who knows where we're at this point? Will we get it better? Will there be charter schools in this new thing?
Of course there will be.
Well,
and they'll fail again.
Everybody's waiting for tomorrow's testimony of former FBI Director Comey. And it's funny because, as we say, it's everybody's talking out their own point on Facebook and on the news, CNN, different. They're all saying their own thing and how it's going to be bad. But if you were watching today's stuff, like I mentioned earlier with the NSA leader and everything, that nothing's going to happen. I hate to tell you this, I don't care where you stand. I'm, if I was a Republican, if it looked bad, I'd say it's looking bad. But there will, you will not find any collusion with Russia in the administration. It's not going to happen. And you're not going to, and Trump's not going to get impeached because he supposedly, you know, outstepped his bounds. None of that's going to happen.
I don't know if he's going to get impeached yet.
How do we know, though, until everything gets out?
Well, I'm just saying, because what's already
shown. Then they should be so transparent and say, let's get this done.
Well, that's
do you agree with that?
Well, either way, well,
that's why
the good thing was Trump said a few days ago. He's like, he's not going to attempt to try to keep him from testifying. Cause he could have.
And so, what would happen though?
Well, that's what I'm saying. if you really can, you're gonna if you have something to worry about. But he's like, let's do it. And I'm telling you, it's going to be all it's a much ado about nothing kind of thing, and that's what you'll probably find out. And like you said, we will see. But I made a comment a few weeks ago. I thought it was kind of funny. The Democrats have, if this was a football game, the Democrats have used all their timeouts and all their challenges. Let's just hope that once it's all said and done, we can move on and get to things like, because I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. You want Congress and our leadership to come up with a tax bill. You want them to come up with a new health care bill. You know, if you're a fan of Obamacare, that's the only reason you're a fan of Obamacare is because you don't have much money and you like the subsidies where you can get health insurance at like $50 a month. Okay, those are the people that like it. Health care is not affordable to me. For me and my wife, I got to pay $1,000 a month.
I just like the pre-existing condition thing.
But that can always that's always there. But here's the thing: if you're going to have pre-existing conditions, which puts a big cost in the risk portion, the pool of having insurance and insuring everybody, there's got to be certain other things that are cut. Not just cut out, but maybe not included, or caps. That's the unfortunate thing, you know? And I get hypocrisy. I'd rather see, you know, I'm tired of people complaining, I want health care, but then they're feeding their fucking kid Cheez-Its and like you know, snack and goes and shit food.
Well, here's my feeling. As a comic and someone who's been self-employed forever, I couldn't get health care for many, 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 many years. I didn't have it. And then all of a sudden, I had Obamacare. So that's where... That's where I do like it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I didn't have that option before, and now I have that option.
For me, as a dad with a child that has a rare illness where the drug costs $10,000 retail a month, now when she turns 26, is any insurance company going to get her if they don't handle her pre-existing condition?
But everything pre-existing is basically one of the pillars of everything that has to have.
Yeah,
have to
but
have.
That's one thing I want to know.
But there's also got to be reform for the pharmaceutical companies.
Oh yeah,
you know
they charge $10,000.
Yeah, there's got to be ways. And there are a lot of people too lazy to try. But some people, like I had a client that similar. She had a condition where she was paying incredible amounts of money, and a friend of somebody I said, you know, have them contact the drug provider directly. They did, and ended up getting it for $50 a month. Just because they contact them and they made it happen.
Yeah.
So it's like anything. If you really want something, you're going to get it.
Not this trip. We tried.
Well, hopefully, you know, something works out. But getting back to this Comey thing, he did release something. He did say that President Trump said he wanted loyalty. You know, when he had dinner with him a couple of times, he said, look, I'd like some loyalty. Comey says, look, I'm going to be honest. I'm just going to be honest and truthful. And then he says, I'll give you truthful loyalty, honest loyalty, and said, that's good enough for me. So whether that's in hindering or trying to screw up the system, that's why I think. And I'm predicting a stock market rally in the next couple of days because of this information. So not only do I believe something just because of my ideological beliefs, but I believe it based on putting my money where my mouth is. So
I don't believe Trump is going to get...
Oh, hold on a second.
Sorry. Oh,
well, yeah, a little music there. Okay. Thought the president was going to walk in.
Oh, sorry. You want me
no,
to...
go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I don't believe Trump is going to get impeached. If he does, if he ever gets impeached, it's not going to be because of that. If anything, he will get impeached just because he never knows how to keep his mouth shut about anything.
You know,
say some dumb shit.
I don't know why anybody's surprised. The guy was a billionaire real estate guy. He wasn't a politician. This is who he is. No one should be surprised by him.
Oh, I'm not. No, I'm not surprised at all.
The fact that the Russians found out all this shit about the corruption within the Democratic Party, everybody keeps saying, look, I'm glad the Russians pulled that shit out because everybody needed to know how bad they were. And, you know, how corrupt they were.
Oh, I'm not saying the Democratic Party is... I was, you know, I'm more of a Bernie Sanders guy, and I hated... I didn't like Hillary either.
Me too.
And I was really upset about the way they sandbagged.
She screwed Sanders.
Absolutely.
She screwed
her own party. How do you feel about that miserable, sorry, cunt being on TV and blaming everybody? How do you guys feel about that? How she's just making, she's blaming everybody for her loss except herself. You know what I mean? Listen, she lost. I was still on the fence a little bit here and there, but the minute Bill Clinton showed up on that plane with the Secretary of State or the Attorney General, whatever it was, with the, I remember the name, he just happened to show up on the plane, spend 30 minutes on the plane supposedly talking about kids. You know, that was bullshit. You know, mm-hmm. you talk about a real interference with an investigation.
And that's what Comey said, why he didn't, he was forced to come out with that. Remember?
Right. Yeah, you know. And I still picture, what's her name, Walters, Auntie Walters, the lady from the congresswoman from California.
Maxine.
She's fucking crazy. You know, she came out and said, Comey has no credibility. And then people, Democrats, are asking why he got fired. He said it himself. He has no credibility. The guy flip-flopped. He's a fucking putz. I mean, that's the bottom line. He got fired. Any rate. Here's something you need to know. There's a big hole in Mars. I'm not talking about the candy bar. There's a giant hole on Mars, and scientists can't figure out where it came from. Maybe it came from one of Saturn's rings. You know what I mean? Interplanetary exchange. There's talking about conspiracy theories. There's supposedly that there's a big hole in the Antarctic Circle where aliens, you know, there's a subterranean world, right? Big controversy, you know, big talk about that, because people say, why can't we find, how many people, you know, that can fly up to the Antarctic? You know, how many people are going to take that trip? But humans have now had rovers active on Mars for almost two decades, which is enough time that we've learned plenty about landscape. We know all about the soil geography and the places where water most likely flowed on the surface. But now, located in an area of planet named Swiss cheese, thanks to a pockmarked ice fields made of carbon dioxide, the pit is confusing for a couple of reasons. For one, it doesn't show a telltale signs of being caused by an impact. And there isn't a well-defined debris field near it or around it. Like an asteroid hit it, but there's a big-ass hole in it. You would think modern civilizations with all the climate... The one way to deal with climate control is if you say, fuck living on the surface of a planet, let's live in it. Right?
Yeah.
Do you think, like, the pyramids and everything, you think these are really, like, just tombs or something? Or you think they were just ways to escape, like, the apocalypse? Want to get too deep with you guys?
A little bit, we're cars.
I saw Cal made a post about Wonder Woman. I thought we were going to talk about that today.
Well, yeah, I know. Let's talk about Wonder Woman.
Oh, my God.
Did you see the movie?
Yeah, I loved it.
That's fine. Do you see it? Did you watch it?
Yes, it was amazing.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I got to see it. She's hot.
Oh, my God.
And I didn't think I was going to like it because there have been so many bad DC comic movies.
Right, yeah.
Movies.
I thought it was better than the Man of Steel. And the only
Man of Steel was terrible.
Yeah, and I think what was smart was... we really don't know her, so she came out, so you believed in the character. The guy I had the problem with was Captain Kirk, Chris Pine. I thought he was horrible in it. It's like, get him out.
I liked him enough, but I liked her, obviously.
Oh,
a lot.
I thought she was incredible.
She was amazing.
I expect big things for
gorgeous.
Her.
The only criticism I heard is that there's too much dialogue of, like, explaining why everybody's doing everything. Like, who are you?
I don't think so. I mean, I will say it's definitely a movie where no one's not going to understand anything that's happening. It's all there, you know what I mean? But at the same time, there's some comic book movies where sometimes I'm so confused, I don't even know what the fuck's going
on.
Maybe I would say this one just has better storytelling.
Now, I'm a Marvel guy over a DC comic guy, and I think Marvel owns the better movies.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there have been so many bad DC movies. I mean, that Batman versus Superman was terrible.
Now, I watched that. I saw it on a plane. I didn't think it was as bad. It was just too much dry stuff.
I got to be honest. I shouldn't even say it was terrible because I didn't even go see it because I've heard nothing.
See,
so
here's a guy he's saying it's terrible. He didn't see it.
But I just...
Just the Ben Affleck as a Batman
just
thing.
But Man of Steel was so bad, why would I even go into Batman?
I hated
Superman.
The fight scenes in that. Like, if you watch the fight scenes... Like, if you watch the fight... Like, to me, I compare some of the greatest fight scenes I've ever seen, except for some of the inabilities of I forgot his name now, but in Matrix. Some of the greatest fight scenes I've ever seen were in the Matrix.
Yes,
especially
the
first one and the second one, which are great. Like when he's fighting when they're fighting in the stairways. That was pretty cool shit. And like all the Smiths in the playground, that was pretty badass. But you know, but you watch the Man of Steel with the you know, the flying and the, you know, it's like it was so stupid.
Well, you know what? Man of Steel, I felt like I was watching a movie that was made just for special effects and they wrote the script afterwards.
Yeah, that's a good point.
There was so many special effects and so much action that I didn't even have time to think about a story. It was like every second there's an explosion. It was like I was tired.
Yeah.
I was like, this is exhausting.
And Wonder Woman, she could fight. She's a
badass,
right?
Oh, yeah. Just from the scenes I've seen, where she, you know, the way she moves and the way they film, it looked fucking incredible.
Oh, it was so good.
Yeah. But that's her distraction. She's so hot that anybody's going to be like, look, you know what I mean?
Oh.
You know, it's like trying to fight a woman who's got her, who's naked. You know, it's kind of hard to, you know, it's kind of hard to fight her when, you know, you can't.
You just solve the wars from now on.
That's what we're going to do. We're not going to send guys out in the battlefield. We're going to send a bunch of hot chicks that have been cross-training all their life, and they're going to go out there naked and the Chinese are gonna be like, oh, look at that fucking girl. And then they're gonna eat lead.
Peace in our time.
That's the way it's gonna work. That's our battle plan. This is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm here with Mike Rivera and Cal Verducci. And don't forget tonight at Tavolino's in Coral Springs, Florida, Wise Guys Comedy Show, 8:15. Bring an umbrella and come out and enjoy some incredible Italian food, some full liquor bar, and of course a great show, all for just $10. Well, the liquor and the food separate, of course, but you know, the show is just $10, which is pretty inexpensive, right?
Very inexpensive.
I mean, come on, what else are you going to do for $10? You can't go to a movie.
No.
Well, yeah, it's $11 for a movie.
I spent $15 for Wonder Woman.
Right?
Really? Did you go see it in 3D or something?
But she was worth it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I got to go now.
I go on Bargain Tuesdays. See it for like $6.
We had the recliner seats, man. It was really good.
Oh, those are the best.
No. Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
The modernization of the movie theater is beautiful. Yeah. Anyway, we'll be back with Straight from the Headlines right after this. Hey, this is Dougie Almeida. Tired of arguing with your friends on Facebook about who's right and wrong? Why not go out to a comedy show? Here's some suggestions for you. I'll be in Coral Springs, Florida on June 7th at Tavolino de la Notte's for the Wise Guys Comedy Show. June 14th through the 17th, you can catch me at Coconuts Comedy Club in St. Pete Beach, Florida. June 20th, I'll be at Lexington, South Carolina, at the Comedy Zone, located in Moonshiners. On June 21st, I'll be in Salisbury, North Carolina, at the Comedy Zone, that's located in the City Tavern. June 22nd, going to be in Georgia at the Loft in Columbus, Georgia. And on Saturday, June 24th, you can catch me in Fort Walton Beach, Florida, at the Comedy Zone, located at the Block. For more dates, go to DougieAlmeida.com. And be sure to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Dougie Dangerous. Thanks for listening. Go out and see some live comedy in your neighborhood and have fun. Take care, everybody. Yeah.
Hey, this is Lenny Travis from the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Listen every morning or Donald Trump will deport you. You homo.
Yeah, welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
And now for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's Straight from the Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Yeah, welcome back to the show, and it's time for Straight for the Headlines, where we talk about things from around the world and make fun of it. There's plenty of that happening here. I don't know if you guys saw this. I don't know if this is funny or not, but it's amazing to me. Angry zoo investors feed live donkey to tigers. Now, where do you think this happened? What country do you think this happened?
Oh, gosh. Is it what continent?
If we say the wrong one, we're going to come off as racist.
Well, who has donkeys?
Good point. I don't even know who has donkeys.
Africa?
Nope.
South America?
Nope. Beijing.
Ah.
Visitors to a Chinese zoo got ringside seats to a shocking live feeding after a group of investors tossed a live donkey into the tiger pit.
Ah.
Apparent videos of the incident, which took place on Monday at a wild animal park in the eastern province of Jiangsu, provoked an outrage to response on social media, with many questioning how men could engage in such an inhumane act. Donkeys are cute, too.
Yeah, no, it's that's one thing, you know, I get we all get offended by things. I would get offended by. I don't want to see that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get upset when I see like a duck get hit on the street.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
If a duck gets hit by a car or something.
An animal lover.
Yeah. When I was in Iowa, I saw these dead deer on the side of the road, you know.
Really?
Yeah, there's a lot of deer, man. I was like, shit, I felt bad. Like, you know, Bambi. The investors, it added, have not seen any profits in 2 years, making them very dissatisfied. Well, it wasn't the donkey's fault. I mean, maybe you should have thrown your marketing guy in there. That would have been funny. If you're losing money in the zoo, take your marketing guy and throw him into the pit with the lions.
Put a different ass in there.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, but that's that's the joke. Yeah. Who doesn't love ass? Yeah. The tigers just want ass. The authentically, the footage circulating online shows men wearing plastic rain ponchos and pushing the donkey off the back of a truck into the moat. A tiger jumps in the water, hops on the donkey's back, and sinks its teeth into the prey's neck. A second tiger joins the fray, taking swipes at the donkey with its paws from the edge of the waters before diving in. The prey brays as onlookers gasp in horror. Almost 30 minutes later, the donkey is dead.
That's just as bad as these assholes that kill, you know, elephants and take pictures with it. And, you know.
Well, how can anybody kill an elephant? The most, you know what I mean? Fuck monkeys and chimpanzees. I think the elephant is the smartest animal besides human. You know what I mean?
I don't want them killed either, but, you know, still.
No, yeah. I don't want, you know, anybody who can kill it, like, I told a story a while back. I had a friend of mine, we used to shoot rifles and stuff, and when I was, like, 12, it was, like, bird hunting. He was shooting birds. Even then, I'm like, dude, I can't shoot the fucking bird.
No, I don't understand this hunting for sport bullshit, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you know, I get the people that maybe they kill something for meat, but I still couldn't do it.
Yeah.
You know, The sport thing is just, it's so douchey. It's so like,
yeah.
Why would you do that?
It's just, I couldn't hunt.
No, neither could I.
I mean, I could, you know, when I was single, I'd hunt. But that was a different hunt.
Yes. Make it virtual reality. That's where everything's going to.
Why not, right? Hunters should just try that.
Virtual reality.
And you know what? If they want to really make it exciting, they should have it where the animals can tack them back. Like, you know what I mean? The animals have a way to get you.
I'd like to see some of those people get attacked, yes.
Yeah. Here's our next story. Subway performer attacked by Subway dancers using a hula hoop. This happened in New York, by the way. A New York City subway performer
says...
It doesn't
even surprise me when you say, like, New York, it's just an average day.
Yeah.
It's just the incessant repetition of street performer crime.
Yeah.
That just propagates our society today. Sorry.
The last time I was in New York, I was on the subway. One of these dancer guys was flying around, you know, he jumps around, does the acrobats on the poles and everything. And this kid... I'm sitting on the corner. He swung, he jumped on that pole and his foot came this close to my face. And all I kept thinking was, if that guy had fucking kicked me in the face, just because there would have been a different performance that night. I would have got to beat the shit out. You know what I mean? You got to be careful.
And you would have taken him and thrown him into the tigers.
That's right. I would have fed him. I would have thrown him into the subway. It says that was injured in an attack by a subway dance group that was angry. They didn't receive tips for a dance routine. Gene Loop Wolfman says he tried to calm down the dancers after they started threatening an elderly couple at the Union Square subway station on Monday, but his attempt to intervene led to the three unidentified dancers chasing him around the station, catching him, and beating Wolfman with a hula hoop. He was they were caring for the subway performance. The NYPD says they've arrested a 21-year-old man in connection with the assault. Wolfman needed stitches and staples for wounds sustained in the assault, but says he would do it again to help somebody out. Unlike those poor people that tried to come in defense of that Muslim lady in Oregon, right? That crazy bastard that stabbed the shit out of those two guys.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, if you're going to step up, you got to be careful. But I'm one of those guys who I couldn't sit idly by. We saw a video yesterday on Facebook. I don't know if you guys saw it, with this kid attacked this one old guy who was pushing a basket where he had his groceries, and this young kid came up and kicked his cart, then punched him and hit him with a cane.
Oh, God.
And some guy who was walking behind him just ran up to the guy and attacked him, like tried to protect the old man and two of his other skinny buddies. Like, you know, I'm not going to let that happen. You know what I mean? When you saw somebody attack, you're going to fight? You're going to go ahead and try to be...
I guess it would depend on the circumstances.
Yeah. I'm just saying. By the way, Tracy Young says, now that's a killer zoo, by the way, with our last story. Yeah,
and they're great.
And we did a story. We did a story on Monday where at a Jacksonville strip club, there was a bad buffet, and a couple of dancers suffered some serious diarrhea while on stage.
Oh, God. Ooh.
Can you imagine? And, of course, Trace said, that's a shitty strip club. They're just coming for you, Trace. You got to keep hitting them, buddy.
I love the fact that strip clubs have buffets to begin with. That just cracks me.
I know, right?
There was one in West Palm, and the guy's like, oh, they got a killer steak. I'm like, yeah.
Oh, Rachel's. Like, Rachel's has, yeah, but that's a steakhouse.
He knew it immediately.
It's a fucking great steakhouse, though.
Oh, well, it was a steakhouse before it was
But it was a great
club?
Place to take business. Like, when I used to work for a financial company, and my job was kind of like a pharmaceutical wholesaler.
Yeah.
You know, to take doc. So my job was entertaining brokers and financial advisors. So we'd go to Rachel's.
That's just so funny to me. Like, some you know, it's like the dancers are okay, but the steak.
Well, listen,
amazing.
Yeah, if you, something's in. Now, here's a story that you'll like, I think. You'll enjoy, Mike. Florida student accused of changing a grade from F to B. You ever had anybody try to change their grade in your grade book?
And who says kids don't want to get involved in education anymore?
Orlando, Florida, a 22-year-old student is accused of sneaking into a building and illegally logging into a Florida university's grading system to change his failing grade to a B. Samai Amar turned himself in at an Orange County jail in Orlando on Wednesday and now faces felony charge of accessing a computer without authorization. His father declined to talk to the Orlando News, saying only the charge is an allegation.
You know, you think the kid would have wanted to hack into, like, maybe Bank of America
right.
or someplace like that and get some money, but no, I want my B.
Yeah, I got an F, but I got $50,000. Yeah. Who gives a shit? University of Central Florida professor Chung Young Chan became suspicious when he got a confirmation from a program he used to log grades on May 4th. He checked the grades and saw Amar suddenly had a B instead of an F in an electronics class. The university police later identified him on a surveillance video. See, now, listen, it's kind of hard. That's the good thing about all this technology. It's kind of harder to kind of, you know what I mean? It's like harder to cheat. Like, if you're a guy who wants to cheat on your girl, you know, girl cheating on a guy, you can't do that nowadays.
No.
Yeah. You know, so many things going on. Just saying. And I thought this was great. I don't know. Do you guys like Seth Meyers?
I haven't seen much.
I don't. It's funny. Like, I know. I mostly know him from SNL, but I haven't watched this show much.
Now, you don't watch much late night TV?
No.
No?
No. I don't know why I don't. I just don't.
Yeah. I mean, like late night, you know, I like Jimmy Fallon because I think he's talented. You know, I think it's a funny show. I never really liked Colbert, and I definitely don't like it now that he's just so one-sided against, you know, it's just. You know,
he is funny though. He's definitely
it's
funny.
Yeah. There's their art and the cartoons they do, but it gets, you know, when it's so one sided. At least Jimmy Fallon makes fun of both. You know, if you're gonna make fun of it, make fun of both.
That's why,
you
know, Louis Black was always great. Because Louis Black always
everybody.
Shit on both sides.
And you know what? To me, telling a Trump joke to me is like telling a fart joke. To me,
at this point, it's become that. Yeah.
It's so easy to make fun of the guy. So it's like, you know, it's stupid. Seth Meyers awkwardly jokes about Ivanka Melania's fashion at the CFDA Awards, and he bombs. That's always interesting. Despite his reputation for cracking down on the Trump administration, Seth Meyers mostly stuck to politics-free monologue on Monday's Council of Fashion Designers of America Awards. Boy, that guy gets all the gigs. But in between the jokes about Romfim's and Balenciaga's idea bag at the New York City Gala, known as Fashion Oscars for its high wattage attendees, the late-night host included some style-related Trump content in his opinion or opening speech to mixed results from the audience. Abercrombie and Fitch, I can't fit in the clothes or say it.
I can't even believe it still exists. Like,
has announced it's pulling itself up for sale. Meanwhile, thanks to Donald Trump, the United States has become a banana republic. The room didn't say shit. I thought that was interesting. You think that, you know.
No.
That's not a good joke.
No.
No, this is not a. Yeah.
That didn't
not
get a good. Nod. My joke was funny, right?
Yeah, you got a nod. Yeah. It's like, yeah.
I got a nod. That didn't get nothing.
You got the face.
Yeah, more successful was his joke about the Trump's recent overseas trip. It's harder than ever to separate fashion from politics. First Lady Melania Trump made headlines recently after she decided to not wear a head cover while visiting Saudi Arabia, he said, which was especially shocking since her husband wears a head covering literally everywhere.
I mean, that's okay, but how many...
Isn't it hack making fun of the hair?
Yeah, it's...
I mean, if you're going to make fun of the hair, it's hack.
Yeah.
I recently saw a comic say, you know, he said, I got a funny... And he made a joke, and I'm like... It's like... Again, it's like, you got... Like the only I don't tell a joke about Trump, but I mentioned Trump in one of my jokes that I think is very funny. And if you want to see it, come to Tavolino's tonight. Just saying.
Oh yeah, because now it's a lot of times the audiences, especially when you go around the country, they don't want it.
Right.
And so that's why if I do
I don't do any political
the
stuff.
Only thing I do is just something about with Star Wars.
Right. Because
when they were showing Air Force One, they saw Star Wars. They go, oh, that'd be so great if he was on it. And but you don't make a political statement.
Right.
Sometimes. No. Like
I do have political jokes, but I won't. And you got to know your audience.
Like I always did an Obama impression, but there's nothing political about it. It's just about how he talks. Yeah. That's the only thing it's about.
Like, yeah.
No, I just. You got to be a special kind of comic to get away with political humor.
You know, the country's so divided now that you're going to split the audience either way, whatever way you go, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, to me, and, you know, I mean, one of my favorite comics of all time being George Carlin, I've seen him maybe seven times on, you know, in concert. And as he got older, he got more political. And to me, unfunny. Like, if I want to go see a comic,
like Lenny Bruce,
yeah, I don't want to hear a comic, you know, spewing off his ideology. I can care less. You know, that's not an actor. I don't care what actors have to say about politics. You know, these aren't people that I put in high honor when it comes to their opinion.
It all depends on how funny they can be about it. Because Louis Black, like we said, he does it from a way where he attacks both sides equally. And he just makes it silly and funny, and you just laugh at it. And he, like I said, if you're shitting on both sides, there's really no, you know,
right.
you're really not coming off as a liberal or a Republican. You're just saying, oh, it all sucks.
Just trying to be funny.
Yeah, exactly. And it is funny with him. Louis Black is fantastic with it.
Oh, yeah. I miss that guy. I never see him on TV anymore.
He's mostly just touring now. I mean,
yeah. He was at, I think they had him at the Southwest Florida Performing Arts Center, Captain Brian's Room. Mm-hmm. I wonder how that went. Here's another story. Book returned to library more than 50 years overdue. I wonder how much that cost. How much is an overdue? Do people still charge for overdue books?
Yeah.
Really?
All the time.
West Hartford, Connecticut. A book has found its way back to a Connecticut library more than 50 years overdue. Staff members at the Noah Webster Library in West Hartford say they don't know who returned the copy of W.O. Mitchell's Who Has Seen the Wind? You read it?
No.
Yeah. Piece of shit when I heard. Plot centers on a coming-of-age tale of a young man in Saskatchewan, Canada. The book was returned Monday with a yellow sticky note reading, "Sorry, it has been taken so long. It originally was due back in September 29 of 1965.
Sounds like a Seinfeld episode with Tropic of Cancer.
Library director Martha Church says she doesn't know how much the fine would be for keeping the book so long. Currently, library fine is 15 cents per day.
Did they have the library detective bookman?
Yeah. Listen here. That was a great...
That was fantastic. Yeah.
that guy reminded me. Remember that comic years ago, like the laughing days? Like, you can call me Jay. You can call me Jay Ov. You can call me Johnson, but you don't call me whatever. Remember that guy?
Raymond J. Johnson.
Raymond J. Johnson. He had that same act. You talk about somebody doing the same fucking act.
Do you remember the comic that his act was he was a detective? I don't remember the
Tommy
guy's
Sledge?
Name. Yes! Yeah. That guy was fantastic. And I guess, I don't know what happened to him. I have no idea what happened to him. But
I'm trying to remember who that is.
It was really cool. He would come out as like this 50s detective. It was like, and he would just, like, he would read this monologue like you would hear in a movie, but it would be funny. You know what I mean? It was really original. I mean, it was, I've never seen anything quite like
that. Yeah, but I remember then he did like a national thing. Once you do it once, it's like, uh-oh, well, what do I do now?
Yeah, you shot your load and everything.
Yeah.
I don't know, was that, I mean, did he do an entire 45-minute set as the detective? Is that what he did?
I remember when I was in college, I saw him.
Yeah.
Here's a story. Massachusetts medical pot dispensary selling marijuana pizza. Boy, two of my favorite things on one plate. Quincy Mass, a Massachusetts medical marijuana dispensary, has created a culinary delight for patients who don't want to smoke their pot or eat it in forms of sweets. Quincy-based Ermont Inc. has been selling cannabis-infused pizza for about 3 weeks to rave reviews. I wonder if you eat the crust on that pizza. Director of Operations Seth Yaffe says the company has a whole range of marijuana edibles, but he wanted to offer meals that patients could eat without a lot of sugar. The 6-inch cheese pizza sells for $38 a piece.
$38 for
a tomato sauce contains 125 milligrams of THC. The psychoactive compound of marijuana. The company has sold about 200 already. What are we going to do after you get the munchies after eating a pot pizza? You can't eat a regular pizza after you eat a pot pizza.
No.
Just saying.
Fucking $38 for a pizza.
Well.
That's wicked expensive.
We paid that.
Yeah? Yeah, that's what we did. We paid that in Bahamas. Oof. By the way, I keep bugging them. I want to go back. But have you been scheduled to go back yet?
I go back in 2 weeks.
Damn!
Yeah. And I go to the Caymans for Bonkers on Monday.
Oh, that's right. They do have a room there.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bonkers, by the way. I finally got back. It's been a long time, you know, but I'm going to be headlining Sanford and East Orlando.
Yeah.
I got those gigs again. So that was nice. Again, there's a club that started. That's how I got, you know, the Improv didn't book me as an MC when I started. And so I went off and I said, look, I got to make my own way. And got featuring at Bonkers and Jackie Knights and Lakeland and for Groucho's and stuff. So, hey, you know, sometimes they say being, you can't be, sometimes you got to be responsible. Bad things won't happen to you if you just work hard. Here's a guy, business owner struck by lightning while working at his desk. I mean, Rochester, New York, a New York business owner says he's just happy to be alive after being struck by lightning while sitting at his office desk. Nick Gemayel tells the news in Rochester he was inside his auto repair shop on Monday when a severe thunderstorm rolled across the area. He says he saw a bright flash of light from the office's light switch, heard a loud crack, and the lights went out. Gemayel says it was a few minutes before he realized his left hand was blistering from getting hit by the bolt that arced through the light switch. The garage's manager was standing outside the shop door when he saw the bolt strike the sidewalk in front of the building. He wasn't injured, but now all of a sudden he's a superhero. He can fly. Did you ever think that? Maybe get struck by lightning? You like that? Wasn't that a John Travolta movie? Something like that. Somebody got struck by lightning or something happened. They had all these powers.
I don't even remember. Sounds like an 80s movie for sure.
I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Just trying to make
Zapped,
some relevance.
Maybe? It was with like...
Yeah.
Yeah, it was with
Scott Baio.
Scott Baio, yes.
Hello, I'm his good friend.
I'm thinking of Powder.
Yeah, I was thinking of Powder.
Oh, Powder, yeah. Powder,
right?
Okay, yeah.
Wow. Anyway, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I want to thank Mike Rivera for joining
us
today.
Thank you so much.
And, of course, Cal Verducci.
Jasmine.
Don't forget, guys, by the way, you can follow the show on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. You can join our fan page on Facebook at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Go to wakeuplatewithdougieshow.podbean.com. If you're listening to us, go to the Patreon page. On the right, be a patron. Just donate to the show. We do appreciate that. And, of course, you can follow me on Instagram and on Twitter at Dougie Dangerous. How about you, Mike?
www.comicmikerivera.com.
Anything coming up, too?
Just we're flying out on Monday, and then Vero Beach next week, and then in the Bahamas for 2 weeks after that.
Nice. How about you, Cal?
Go to calverducci.com. I don't know how they're going to spell Verducci. Good luck.
Follow me on Facebook.
Yes, exactly. Find me on Facebook. And at the end of the month, June into July, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I'll be headlining Laughing Comedy Cafe in Fort Myers.
Great.
And just nothing for the next couple weeks. But.
All right. And next week, I'll be at Coconuts in St. Pete, Wednesday through Saturday. Come out for some shows. And that's it. That's all we have time for, guys. Don't forget, you can hear us on Bubba Army Radio Friday, Saturdays and Sundays at 4 p.m. if you ever get bored and you're on the weekend and want to listen to us. And, of course, Stitcher and iTunes and all that stuff. But we'll be back next week with all new shows right here at the same spot.
People have in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they travel to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. Thick beam of light hit the ground.